Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And tonight's show is a very, very special show. My guest was supposed to be in the studio, but he got called into emergency surgery, and he has been kind enough, as the surgery just ended, to call. So he is still here, but he's not here, but he's here. So we're going to be talking with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is a nationally and internationally renowned expert in the field of vascular and endovascular surgery. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. If you are listening on Long Island at 103.9 FM but have family down here, this is a very important show for you as well. And, of course, if you're in Gainesville, my guess is that you have family down here also. And if you're on the Palm, it's the day before Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. So we hope that you have a wonderful holiday. And for those who celebrate Hanukkah, we hope you had a good first night last night if you're listening on the Palm. I want to thank everyone who attended last week the panel discussion on guardianship at the Jewish Community Center in Boynton Beach. We had a very spirited conversation, and I was honored to share the podium with Anthony Palmieri, who is the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller's Chief Investigator, and with Michael Rachel, who is the Chief of the White Collar Crime Unit for the State Attorney's Office. They were terrific, as was our moderator, Jewel Littenberg. Guardianship's been in the news lately, and it's a very important subject, and I was glad that we had the opportunity to talk to the audience. This is a big week for everybody. If you are down in South Florida, your guests are arriving, some today, some tomorrow, and all week. One word of caution to you all, stay calm, stay peaceful, and just be nice. Unless you meet that jerk who cut me off on the way to the studio tonight, and then whatever you do is okay with me. But seriously, for these next 2 weeks, patience, my friends. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas to all this week. But now to my guest, who is, as I said, a nationally and internationally renowned expert in the field of vascular and endovascular surgery. Dr. Joseph Ricotta brings years of valuable experience working at the nation's leading institutions such as Yale, Johns Hopkins, the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, to his current role now as the Regional Director of Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy for Tenet, Florida. In addition, Dr. Ricotta is also a professor of surgery at Florida Atlantic University. He is, or was, the CEO of and Medical Director of the Vascular Institute of Atlanta. He was the medical director of the Heart and Vascular Institute at Northside Hospital. He's an assistant professor, was an assistant professor of surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He completed his undergraduate degree at Yale, received his medical degree from Jefferson Medical. He went on to complete the Halsted General Surgery Residency at Johns Hopkins Hospital and was a traveling scholar and specialist registrar in vascular surgery at Oxford University in England. He also completed a vascular and endovascular surgery fellowship at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, followed by an advanced endovascular surgery fellowship at the world-renowned Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Ricotta has garnered national and international recognition as an innovative pioneer and thought leader in vascular surgery. He was the first surgeon in the Southeast United States and is one of the few in the world to perform endovascular robotic surgery. He is the first surgeon in the United States with FDA IDE approval to create and implant custom modified endografts in high-risk patients with complex aortic aneurysms. He was also the first to perform peripheral drug-coated balloon angioplasty in the state of Georgia. And in addition, he was the first to perform the Vena Seal, and we'll talk about that soon, which he will explain later in the show. Dr. Ricotta, I can't thank you enough for being here. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Scott. Sorry I couldn't be there in person, but happy to be with you.
Thank you. So That was clearly an exceedingly impressive resume. You have done some amazing things, and you're relatively new to Tenet South Florida Hospital. There are 10 hospitals under your oversight. What brought you here? This is really kind of a, I mean, I don't, you're a big catch for us here. So what brought you here?
Well, thanks. I have been here now for 2 months. I just moved down from Atlanta, where I was for the last 7 years. And essentially, you know, this is a tremendous opportunity to take care of the people in South Florida, to bring new technologies to South Florida. And really, you know, really the driving force behind it was to, I saw just a great opportunity to affect change. I think that vascular disease in general in South Florida has been underdiagnosed and I think undertreated. And there haven't been some of the newest and greatest technologies in place previously. And so I really saw a great opportunity to help bolster that by building this, helping to build this vascular program for the whole Tenet Florida region.
And you did say that it is woefully underdiagnosed and undertreated. Let's talk more specifically, both statistically and specifically, what it is that is underdiagnosed and undertreated.
Well, you know, I think in general, you know, nationally across the country, there are several things like peripheral arterial disease, for example, which is, you know, blockages in the leg arteries that usually cause pain when you walk, or what we call venous insufficiency, which, you know, we can go into if you want, that, you know, gives you varicose veins and gives you tired and achy legs or swollen legs. You know, those patients, there's about 30 million patients with venous insufficiency in the United States, and less than 2 million of them get diagnosed and treated for it because the awareness by both the consumer, i.e. the patient, and also by the healthcare providers is low. A lot of people think it's just part of getting old or it's a cosmetic problem, but it's a problem that causes significant, you know, disability to patients, and it's a very easy thing nowadays to fix. I also think, you know, aortic aneurysms is very underdiagnosed in South Florida. Carotid disease, you know, renal artery disease. There's lots of I think there's lots of patients with vascular disease, blockages and of arteries all over the body, where either you know, they're not going to see the doctor because they don't think it's a big problem, or because it's just not being, you know, identified.
Are these typically age related problems, or can this affect people of all ages?
So, you know, it can affect people of all ages is the short answer to it. You know, venous disease is usually a little bit younger population, so that probably starts in the 30s or so and extends out into the 60s and 70s. You know, blockages in the arteries, in the leg arteries, probably starts maybe in the early 50s and then goes out into the, you know, the 80s. And I would say aneurysms, for example, probably start in the 60s and go out into the 80s and 90s. And so depending on what you're looking at, you know, you could be anywhere from, you know, 30 years old to 90 years old and have vascular disease.
And I know this is probably a very broad and maybe even a naive question. Is vascular disease misdiagnosed because it resembles other diseases, or the symptoms come and go? Are there signs that we should be looking for that say, you know, maybe I need to check? And I know that we're talking about multiple diseases, so it may not be the same for an aneurysm as it is for PAD. But, you know, is it misdiagnosed, undiagnosed, because we don't take it seriously, we don't see it coming, there are no symptoms?
I think all of the above. You know, like I said, venous disease, venous insufficiency, 30 million people in the U.S. Peripheral arterial disease, or otherwise known as PAD, leg artery blockages, about 12 million people in the United States. So, you know, people walk around, they get a little aching in their legs, it goes away when they rest, they walk again, and they get the pain. Usually it's in the thighs or the calves. That's sort of the typical first symptom of PAD. A lot of people will just sort of chalk that up to, you know, I'm getting older and my my body's, you know, not as young as it used to be, and I'm getting muscle cramps and aches. But, and so, you know, they don't think about maybe that it's a blood flow problem or a circulation problem. Same thing with venous insufficiency. You know, yeah, my legs get swollen at the end of the day, or they feel tired, or they're achy, or even restless leg syndrome can be caused by venous insufficiency. So, again, I think people chalk it up to just getting older or being on your feet a lot, and it is because you're being on your feet a lot, but it's because the valves and the veins aren't working well. And again, it's such an easy thing nowadays to fix in the office. You know, you used to have a bigger operation to fix it under general anesthesia, and now in about 15 or 20 minutes it can be fixed in the office and you can go back to your normal, you know, your normal life immediately.
And one of the reasons that you have the ability to be so effective is because you are operating in some of these cases, not, I assume this is not in the office, but at the hospital, you're operating with one of the very few Magellan robotic surgical products. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's what we call an endovascular robot. So in vascular surgery, you know, almost every patient can be treated either with an operation where you can make an incision and do a bypass or clean out an artery surgically. But over the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a big paradigm shift to try to fix these patients through these minimally invasive techniques called endovascular techniques. Endo meaning inside, vascular meaning vessel. So treating it from the inside of the vessel, and that's usually done through just a little puncture in the groin artery and with catheters and balloons and stents and things like that. So there's a surgical robot that probably a lot of people have heard of called the Da Vinci robot, and that's a robot for actual surgery, sewing and cutting and tying things together. But there's an endovascular robot called the Magellan robot, as you referenced, and that's works the same way, where you sit at a workstation remotely and you can use, you know, buttons and levers and things like that to control the wires and the catheters inside the patient. And there's only 10 of those robots actually functioning in the world right now, and we're fortunate to have one at Delray Medical Center.
And I mean, that's really amazing. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is the Regional Medical Director of Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy at Tenet Florida Heart and Vascular Network. And what Dr. Ricotta was just telling us is that he has access to one of only 10 in the world of this Magellan robot, which assists in all sorts of vascular procedures. There is so much to talk to Dr. Ricotta about, and we will. Of course, if you have questions about this, get a pen. I'm going to tell you how you can call in and speak with him if you'd like. Dr. Ricotta had emergency surgery right before the show, but he's been kind enough to call in. So we are on the phone, but he is here, and we have a whole lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about avoiding amputations. We're going to talk about diabetes. We're going to talk about aneurysms in more detail, and we're going to talk about the difference between endovascular surgery and aortic valve surgery, which is a question that I have. I'm not sure I said that correctly, but I will get to it, and he will correct me if I'm wrong. But this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday night live on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. If you're on 95, please drive carefully. I understand there's a pretty bad accident out there, so take your time. If you're listening on Long Island or in Gainesville, it's Wednesday night. We appreciate you tuning in. And, of course, if you're listening on 95.9 The Palm, it is Saturday morning, and we appreciate you as well being here. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Ricotta about the subjects that I just mentioned. And you're going to want to tune in, because Dr. Ricotta is one of the smartest people I've ever had on this radio show, and he's got some fascinating information for you. So we'll be right back. But if you want to ask questions, call us. I promised you the number. Here it is, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day. day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is the Regional Medical Director of Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy at Tenet Florida Heart and Vascular Network. He is world-renowned, internationally renowned, as an expert in the field of vascular and endovascular surgery with stints at Mayo, at Cleveland Clinic. And he has been recruited to come down here to work with the Magellan robot and other specialties. There are only 10 operational in the world, and one is right here. Dr. Ricotta is at Delray Medical Center. We're going to tell you how you can reach him later in the show, so keep that pen and paper nearby. Dr. Ricotta, so much I want to ask you. I have so many notes here. One of the things in the introduction that I gave, and you've talked about the Vena Seal procedure. You were the first, I think, in the world, but certainly the first in the Southeast to perform that procedure. What is that, and why is that so important?
Sure. So Vena Seal is used to treat what we call venous insufficiency, what I was referencing before. So the veins take the blood from the feet to the heart. The arteries take the blood from the heart to the feet, and the veins take the blood back up to the heart. And it's supposed to be a one-way system up. So there's actually valves in your veins that work like check flow valves. So the blood goes from the feet to the heart, and the valves close to keep it a one-way system up. Over time, those valves can break down, and what happens is blood falls down the wrong way, and it pools in your legs and in your feet. And what it can cause is swelling of your legs, pain, achiness, discomfort, a feeling of heaviness or tiredness of your legs, usually worse at the end of the day after you've been on your feet a lot because, again, gravity is working the opposite way of the veins. So if the valves don't work, gravity will always win. Restlessness of your legs, burning or itching. And usually it'll affect people that are on their feet a lot, so healthcare workers, you know, surgeons for sure, dentists, teachers, hairstylists, people that are up on their feet most of the day. It can also run in families, so if you have relatives that have vein problems, varicose veins, it can also give you, I didn't mention, but bulging veins like the varicose veins, right, or even spider veins that you can see pop up in your legs. And then a lot of times women who have ever had babies or been pregnant, during pregnancy the uterus can put pressure on those valves, and over time they stop working well. So the traditional way to fix these leaky valves in the veins, if you will, is to do a vein stripping operation where you would have to go under general anesthesia and basically have a cut in your leg, and they basically pull the bad vein out. It requires usually a night or two in the hospital. It's associated with, you know, some pain and bruising and bleeding sometimes. It's really sort of a morbid operation. And about 8 or 9 years ago, we started doing things, again, endovascularly, where we do it from the inside. And they started doing what's called endovenous ablation or heat ablation, where you can go in the office under some lidocaine, not under general anesthesia, and you can put a little catheter through a little needle stick in the vein, in the calf, and you can put a catheter into the leg, and you can close the vein down with heat. So instead of having to take it out of the body, you can actually close the vein down. It serves the same purpose as taking it out of the body, but it's not as destructive and bothersome to the patient, and it can be done as an outpatient. You can walk out of the office. The deal with the heat is that that involves, you know, needle sticks, because you have to numb the leg up before you heat it. You can get some inflammation from the actual heating process, and you can even get sometimes, you know, inflammation of the nerve too, because the nerve is close to the vein, and if the vein gets heated up, sometimes the nerve can get irritated. And you have to afterwards wear stockings or wraps for 2 weeks, and you can't exercise for 2 weeks. So VenaSeal is a new technology that was FDA approved about a year ago. And when I was in Atlanta, I did the first case in the southeastern United States. And basically what that does is you start out the same way with as you do with the heat. So it's all done in the office, just a little lidocaine. You put a little IV in the calf, and you put the catheter in. It's all done under ultrasound guidance. And instead of heating the vein, you inject this adhesive polymer that's sort of like a super glue, and you basically super glue the vein shut instead of heating it shut. And this polymer has been around. We've been using it since the 1950s for brain aneurysms, to heal surgical wounds, for aortic aneurysms. So it's not new to the body, but it's new for the vein, for the veins in the legs. But the advantage of this VenaSeal or the super glue is that there's no needle sticks, because we don't have to heat the vein up. So, you know, you don't have to do any needle sticks at all. There's no wraps, no stockings afterwards, and you can exercise immediately. So you have your procedure done, takes 20 or 30 minutes in the office. You put a little Band-Aid on it, and you walk out, and you can go play tennis, you can play golf, you can go run 5 miles. That very same day, there's no 2 weeks of recovery time, if you will. And then, of course, there's no heating of the vein, so there's zero risk of, you know, inflammation to the nerve or any heat-induced injury. So it's really a huge game changer in terms of treating venous insufficiency. And again, 30 million people have it, only less than 2 million are diagnosed with it, and now you can fix it basically in 20 or 30 minutes in an office through a tiny, tiny little IV in the leg. And people can return back to their normal life, including exercise, 30 minutes later when they walk out of the office.
And the recovery that you describe is really quite remarkable. I'm assuming that the long-term continuity of that, I'm sure it's been tested and all of that. I mean, this seems like a revolution or a revolutionary solution to a situation that was much more severe
absolutely. Again, like with a lot of things in the vascular world that, you know, traditionally were treated with surgery, we've developed now these minimally invasive endovascular techniques, and this is an example of technological advances where, you know, you don't have to have general anesthesia. You don't have to stay a night or two in the hospital. You don't have to have pain after the procedure. It can all be done in an office in 20 minutes, and you go back to your, you know, Pilates class, or go play golf, or go on the tennis court, do whatever you want.
It's really
we did the first. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We did the first case in the area here at our office on West Atlantic in Delray about 6 weeks ago.
That's really, it's remarkable. We're going to talk more about that. I'm going to talk about the difference between surgery on the veins and whether this is going to translate into arterial procedures. I don't know the answer to that, but I can't wait to ask the question. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is with Tenet Florida Heart and Vascular Network. He is the regional medical director, and he is internationally renowned as an expert in some of these cutting and leading edge procedures that are really changing the quality of life for the people who are listening to the show tonight. If you have questions for Dr. Ricotta or for me, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here tonight with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is the Regional Medical Director of Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy at Tenet Florida Heart and Vascular Network. He oversees all 10 Florida Tenet hospitals in this southeast region, and he is an international expert in new and cutting-edge therapy for all sorts of diseases that have to do with things like venous insufficiency, peripheral arterial disease, and many others, all kinds of venous insufficiency problems. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly because it's a little bit above my pay grade. You know, one of the questions I had, Dr. Ricotta, is all of this, you know, kind of in the spirit of Rogue One opening this week, it sounds like Star Wars. I mean, we're really changing the face of the types of procedures that you are doing. We're changing the quality of life for the better. Are these types of procedures unique to veins? Will they ultimately be able to transfer to arterial types of problems, or is it very, very different?
No, absolutely. So the example I gave you just before the break was to treat, you know, the newest treatments for the veins, but we have, you know, new treatments for PAD, the blockages in the leg arteries, new treatments for aortic aneurysms, new treatments for stroke. You know, and one of the big things, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, is this Magellan endovascular robot. So again, it's a robot sort of like the Da Vinci robot, but, you know, it's used to control, to do the endovascular procedures, where these are the minimally invasive procedures that you do a little needle stick in the groin, and you treat the disease from the inside instead of treating it from the outside. And what the Magellan does is it allows us to be much more precise in our manipulation of the wires and catheters as we're moving them through the arterial system in the patient. And it allows us to navigate more simply, and basically simplifies complex procedures. And so a lot of times when you are doing this just manually, using your hands to control the wires and the catheters, you just can't get through the significant blockage that are in some arteries, or you can't get through the angulation or the tortuosities or the twisty and turny of the blood vessels. And either those patients has to have open surgery because you can't accomplish what you need to accomplish through the minimally invasive endovascular technique, or they don't get any treatment at all because maybe they're too sick to not healthy enough to have open surgery. And what the Magellan endovascular robot does is it allows you to treat more patients through this minimally invasive endovascular technique because you have much more precision, much more control in manipulating these wires and catheters than you would do, you know, just with your hands manually. It takes the whole, you know, human error out of everything. And again, there's only 10 of these functioning robots in the world, and you know, we're fortunate to have one at Delray Medical Center.
So on that note, how do people – I know how people find you. I mean, I want you to give your number and a website. I do want that. But how do people come to you? Do they typically come through the primary care physician referral network? Do people come through an emergency admission through the ERs? How do you show up on the scene, so to speak?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess all of the above. I mean, sometimes, again, in the advanced stages, you know, people present to the emergency room and then we would get called to come and evaluate. But, more often it's either somebody gets sent by their primary care doctor or their endocrinologist or their podiatrist or their cardiologist or their, infectious disease doctor. You know, those are the doctors that send a lot of our patients. Even for the vein patients, they're OBGYN. And then, quite honestly, you know, a lot of patients will be self-referred, where they'll, you know, hear about us word of mouth, the new technologies that we're doing, or they'll find us on the internet and research us. I would say, again, if you're talking about PAD, just to emphasize the real impact that this, endovascular robot has is, normally a lot of people still do this where they do bypasses of legs. So, you have a blockage in your leg artery. Okay, the plan is to do a bypass around the blockage. You would go, you would have general anesthesia, a 2-, 3-, 4-, 5-hour operation where you'd make a couple of cuts in the legs and you would sew a graft from, above the bypass to below the bypass. And then you're in the hospital for anywhere from 2 to 3 to 5 days. And then recovery time back to normal exercise and everything is probably about 3 months. And when you can treat it endovascularly, and especially with the robot, the robot allows me to go from the brain all the way down to the big toe. I can get into these tiny 1-millimeter, 2-millimeter vessels with the robot and get through these blockages and quite honestly treat further out, more distally in the leg than you would ever be able to sew a bypass to. But these patients are going home literally, 2 hours, 3 hours after the procedure, the same day of the procedure. And they're returning to their normal life, 1, 2, 3 days later. So we did the first Magellan endovascular robot from South Florida, from Broward County all the way up to the Florida-Georgia line. There's never been one done before. So we did the first one. It was done here at Delray Medical Center on November 2nd. And it was a woman who had about a 40 or 50 centimeter long blockage in her leg artery that was causing her significant pain when she walked only a quarter of a block or a half a block. She was getting excruciating pain in her calf and her thighs. And she saw several doctors and nobody could really pinpoint it. And we were able to, diagnose the blockage, and we were able to get through it with the robot and treat it and basically Roto-Rooter some of that blockage out and open it up with a balloon. She left the hospital literally 2 to 3 hours after the procedure, and 3 days later, she was back on the golf course. She was a big golfer.
That's amazing.
And this pain was preventing her from, getting her on the golf course.
So I actually have a couple of phone calls, doctor. So
sure.
I'm going to talk to Gina first, who is on the phone. Gina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have a question for Dr. Ricotta?
Yes, I do. I was wondering, what is the difference between spider veins and varicose veins, and how is each treated?
Yes, ma'am, that's a very good question. So, spider veins are typically those sort of little bluish, tiny veins, like 1-millimeter veins that you might see. Sometimes they're blue and red in the legs. Sometimes they're in like the starburst pattern. And varicose veins would be the more bulging veins that stick out that are, 3 or 4 millimeters, so bigger than spider veins. Both of those can be painful. And both of those can be a harbinger of something, you know, more serious below, which means the venous insufficiency or the leaky valve. And so even though it's a superficial vein, it's deeper than the spider or the varicose veins. It's called the great saphenous vein, and it goes from your upper thigh all the way down to your foot. And that's usually the culprit with this venous insufficiency. And so if you think of it as a main road and side roads, if you have a flood down the main road, it's going to all go into the side roads and flood the side roads too. And that's what happens. If you have blood falling down through these leaky valves in your great saphenous vein, it's going to go out into all of its branches and fill those branches and engorge those branches with blood. And those will bulge under the skin, or the spider veins will form. And that's why you see that. So anybody that has that comes to see me, I usually get an ultrasound. This can all be done very simply in the office with an ultrasound to see if you have leaky valves in your great saphenous vein. If you have leaky valves in your great saphenous vein, that probably should be treated, you know, ideally with the venous seal technique that I discussed. Spider veins can be injected directly, and they can go away. But if you have leaky valves in your great saphenous vein, and that's the source of the spider veins, you can inject those spider veins till the cows come home. They're all going to come back because you haven't eliminated the source. So the difference, to answer your question, is that spider veins are small, tiny, little, wispy veins, and the varicose veins are bulging veins, but they can both represent venous insufficiency, and you need to make sure that you eliminate the source first, and then you can come back, and if those don't go, a lot of times those will go away on their own when you eliminate the source, the great saphenous vein. But if they don't, they can be easily injected in the office.
And Gina, we're going to give out how you can contact and make an appointment with Dr. Ricotta in just a couple of minutes, so hang in there. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you calling in. Now I have Robert on the phone. Robert, you have a question for Dr. Ricotta.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. So can he.
Good. It's a great show.
Thank you.
And I want you to know I saw the Rogue One this weekend. It was a great movie.
thank you for the review. Both of them.
Yes.
Go ahead. Dr. Ricotta's listening.
Okay. I have a family history of aortic aneurysm, and I want to know what needs to be done to keep an eye out for that.
Sure. So, you know, that's a very common question. So, you know, aortic aneurysms are bulging. You know, the aorta is the main artery that goes from the heart and gives blood to the whole body, and it goes down sort of your back. It's in your chest and in your abdomen, and it goes down along actually right on top of your spine. And so, it's the main artery in the body. And an aneurysm is basically a bulging of the artery, sort of like a water balloon. It sort of gets bigger because the vessel wall gets weak and it stretches. And, you know, the problem with aortic aneurysms is that they're usually silent until they cause a problem like they burst. And they're often found by accident when you're looking for kidney stones or gallstones or, you know, uterine fibroids. And so they're silent, and it's very hard to screen, to identify those. And so screening is very important. And so we identify people that are at risk of having aneurysms, and those would be anybody over the age of 65, male or female, that's ever smoked 100 cigarettes in their lifetime. That's enough to start the damage of the wall of the aorta. So anybody that's ever smoked 100 cigarettes that's over 65 should have an aortic aneurysm screening. And there's actually a law passed by Congress called the SAVE Act, S-A-A-V-E, Screening Aortic Aneurysms Very Effectively. And that gives people, when they join Medicare and turn 65, a one-time free screening of their aorta if they've ever smoked. So that's the first thing, is trying to identify people at high risk for aneurysms. The other risk factors would be people with high blood pressure, people with family members that have had aortic aneurysms, like brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents. So if your family member has an aortic aneurysm, then we assess the size of it. And usually the cutoff that we use to fix it is 5 centimeters. And so below 5 centimeters, the risk of it bursting is very low, and those patients could just be followed. But once it gets above 5 centimeters, the risk of it bursting increases exponentially, and those should be fixed. And usually, again, the old-fashioned way, or The standard way is to do it with open surgery, but nowadays 90% or so of those aneurysms can be fixed through the endovascular minimally invasive techniques with just a puncture in the groin, and we can use the robot to fix those aneurysms.
Dr. Ricotta, well, first of all, Robert, thank you for calling in. I know that your cell phone dropped off, but I hope you indeed heard the full answer. Dr. Ricotta, how do people reach you? I think people obviously have lots of questions, and you're the go-to guy. So how do people find you?
So you can find me on the web at www.drjoseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, Ricotta, R-I-C-O-T-T-A, all one word, drjosephricotta.com. Our office is at 4205 West Atlantic Avenue in Delray Beach, and our phone number of the office is 561-303-0013.
Because of the phone calls and the interest and the fact that I haven't gotten to even a fraction of my questions, we're going to skip our last break, if it's okay, and keep on going. You know, one of the things that's epidemic, Dr. Ricotta, by the way, if you're all just tuning in, it's, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. And we are here tonight with a very special guest, Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who's the Regional Medical Director for Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy at Tenet Florida Hospital. He was recruited here after a career that is really hard to match. He has been at really some remarkable institutions, and he's teaching people all over the world. When I say nationally and internationally renowned, I am not exaggerating that. He is well-known throughout the world as a leader in his area of specialty, and he is here in South Florida, new to the area, but not new to what he does. And you really need to investigate this more, and we're going to give you his contact information again before the end of the show. But Dr. Ricotta, one of the things that's epidemic, particularly down here in South Florida, was certainly my clientele, and I have no doubt most of yours, diabetes. Diabetes is epidemic amongst the population that certainly I serve, and I have no doubt you. What you're doing is very important in that world as well. Can you explain the connection, why it's so important, and I think maybe lead into the amputation story, if you will?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, diabetics are the highest part of the population at risk for peripheral arterial disease, or PAD, which is the blockages in the leg arteries. And so diabetes can cause, you know, hardening of the arteries, if you will. And so I would say, well, 100% of patients with PAD either have diabetes or smoke. So those are the two most common causes for peripheral arterial disease. And, you know, again, 12 million people have peripheral arterial disease in the United States. It's underdiagnosed and undertreated. And the spectrum of peripheral arterial disease can start with something as benign as some pain in your calf or pain in your thigh when you walk, and then what it does is, if untreated, it evolves into pain in your legs at rest when you're not walking. Because what happens is, when you walk, your muscles need oxygen to work, and your blood carries oxygen, and the blood is carried through your blood vessels. If there's a blockage in the blood vessel, then not enough blood's getting to the muscles, not enough oxygen gets to the muscles, the muscles start to make acid, and that's when you get the cramping pain. So it starts with pain in your legs when you walk, and then it progresses to pain in your legs even when you don't walk, even when you're just lying there. Then it progresses to sores, ulcers, gangrene, and then, you know, if untreated, will lead to leg amputation. And so there's about 350,000 leg amputations done in the United States every year, and amazingly, only about 50% of them have their blood supply looked at. So there's leg amputations being done, and people are not evaluating very effectively what the circulation status is, because a lot of these people don't need to have their legs amputated. All we need to do is go in there and get better blood flow in there, and we can save a lot of the legs.
So where is the disconnect between what you're doing? I mean, I know that when you and I spoke in preparation of this, I don't want to misspeak, but I think you said you've only done one amputation in the last 3 years. Where's the disconnect between people who are doing what you're doing and people who are cutting off people's limbs?
Yes, actually, I've done zero amputations in the last 3 years.
Okay.
We haven't done one. And one of the reasons is because we've created a network where, you know, these people, again, they have diabetes, so they see endocrinology. They have foot problems or sores on their feet, so they see podiatry, or they see the wound care doctor, or they get infections of the sores, like osteomyelitis or something like that, so they see the infectious disease doctor, or they see their primary care doctor. And a lot of times these people see their doctors in silos, and there's not a great communication and networking between everybody. And so, you know, one of the things when I was in Atlanta that we set up was this is called Limb Salvage or Limb Preservation Program, and we're in the process of organizing that here at Delray Medical Center. So you get these stakeholders, these doctors that take care of these patients involved. They communicate with each other. We're networked in. We make sure the patients get their blood sugars checked. They make sure they go visit the infectious disease doctor or the wound care doctor. Make sure that they get their blood vessels, you know, evaluated with, you know, at least ultrasound to see what the blood flow is before amputations are considered. And, you know, one of the things that I am passionate about and that I, you know, sort of excel at is using these wires and catheters, again, with the robot, to get through the blockages and open them up, you know, endovascularly from the inside. And we're able to save a lot of people's legs. I have people travel from Maine to when I was in Atlanta, from Maine to Florida over to, you know, Kansas, they would all come to Atlanta to because they were sent for amputation by somebody and they wanted to see if we could salvage their legs. And in more often than not, you know, we would be able to do it through some of these techniques, especially, you know, using the robot, opening up these blockages. And so I think the robot helps a lot to get into these small little vessels. I think I've developed a skill set over the years just because I'm interested in that field, and that served me well in terms of being able to navigate through some of these blockages and use some of the newest technologies to open them up. And we've had, you know, tremendous success in saving people's limbs. And the other thing that transfers to is, you know, we have this motto, save a limb, save a life. You know, anybody that gets their leg amputated, the three-year survival is less than 50%. So half of those people will die within 3 years. And if you get two legs amputated, 90% of those people will die. So if you can save a leg, you truly are saving a life because you're, you know, increasing people's lifespan.
That's really remarkable. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is the Regional Medical Director for Tenet Florida Heart and Vascular Network. He is the Medical Director for Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy. We have had an unbelievably fascinating show, and if you missed it and are sorry that you did, I have good news for you. You can listen to it because we podcast, and it will be available tomorrow. Just search OMG, I am getting. Up Wheel Will Pop. You can listen to this show or any of the others that we've done over the last 5+ years. You can also listen on my website. I put it on my website tomorrow, www.palmbeach.comforcare.com, comforcare.com. If you don't have a radio, there is no excuse. I don't want to hear that. You can listen on TuneIn Radio. Just download that app to your smartphone. It is free. We are free. And you can listen to us every week because we are here live at 5 o'clock on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We also broadcast on Long Island at 103.9 FM, Long Island's Talk Radio, in Gainesville, 104.9 FM, Gainesville's Talk Radio, and 95.9 The Palm on Saturday morning. So you can set it for any of those times, and you can listen to us on the TuneIn Radio app. We also simulcast www.900thetalk.com. You can listen around the area, around the nation, and around the world. Next week, a most fascinating show that I am really anxious to do. Not quite as anxious as I was for tonight's show. No, it's not true. I'm just for every show. But Samantha Blakeney is going to be here, and she is an expert in compound pharmacies. Compounding pharmacies are often misunderstood. They're very interesting. I spoke with Samantha for about an hour the other day in preparation. She is a wealth of information. I know I learned a lot in that conversation, and I know you will in our show. Right after the new year, the first Monday after the new year, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be talking to Brett Barry, who is a noted author about lifestyle issues confronting boomers and their parents. It's a show you're not going to want to miss. But I am here tonight with Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is the Regional Medical Director for vascular surgery and endovascular therapy, a tenant Florida Heart and Vascular Network. He is recruited here from Atlanta after stints at places like Mayo, Cleveland Clinic, and others. There is one of only 10 in the world Magellan endovascular robots here, and he is responsible for that at Delray Medical Center. Dr. Ricotta, tell everybody how to contact you in your office again.
Sure. So on the web, www.drjosephricotta.com, drjosephricotta.com, and office number is 561-303-0013, and we're on 4205 West Atlantic Avenue in Delray Beach.
We only have a minute or so left. What is the one thing you'd want to leave the audience with? Is there a sign? Is there something that somebody should see that says they should come to you sooner rather than later? What's that one tidbit that you hope everybody leaves with?
Well, just that, you know, not everything is due to just getting older. You know, I mean, leg pain, leg discomfort, heaviness, tiredness, swelling in the legs, even simple things like varicose veins. It doesn't mean that it's just a cosmetic problem. It could be a harbinger of things a little bit more serious deeper down in the leg. And so I wouldn't be, you know, shy about having those things investigated. Again, you know, 30 million people and only less than 2 million people get diagnosed with venous insufficiency or venous disease or PAD, 12 million people out there. So even, you know, walking, playing golf, doing things that you enjoy doing, if you find that you're, you know, not able to do them anymore because your legs are starting to bother you, that may be a vascular problem. And so I would either, you know, feel free to contact my office or talk to your primary care doctor and see what he or she says and see if you need a referral to see a vascular doctor.
So I can't thank you enough, Dr. Ricotta, for being on the show tonight. Obviously, the information that you have is critically important to my audience and to friends of my audience. I know this was a tough day. You had emergencies up until right before the show began, so I can't thank you enough for making the time and for calling in and for being such a gracious guest. I hope I can entice you to come back one day, and we can do it in person, perhaps. I would love to get to meet you and learn more about what you're doing. It is really fascinating. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Scott, I'd love that. Thanks again for having me on.
All right. Well, for those of you who missed the show, this was Dr. Joseph Ricotta, who is the Regional Medical Director of Vascular Surgery and Endovascular Therapy at Tenet Florida Heart Hospital. He's been a wonderful guest. We had some calls in tonight with very specific information. If you missed the show, remember that you can listen tomorrow on podcast, OMG, I'm Getting, and Up Will Pop. We will be here next week. I know this week is Hanukkah and Christmas. I want to wish everybody a very happy holiday, regardless of what you celebrate. I encourage you to be nice, to be kind, to be patient. All of those things will stand you in good stead. We will, in fact, be talking with Samantha Blakely next week about compound pharmacies. It's going to be a fabulous show. Don't miss that. But to all, I want you to have a very good night. Tune in next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom, with Scott Greenberg, and we will see you on the 26th. Have a great holiday, all, and thank you again, Dr. Ricotta. Good night, all.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.